It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And if that sounded like he is closer than usual or closer than sometimes, you are exactly right. We're all here in the studio, joined by my grandson, who is very, very busily doing something on a telephone. It isn't talking, of course. Kids don't do that. In fact, I know some kids are just learning that their phones will actually call other people.
They don't use that feature.
No. When everything else goes out, sometimes you have to. But anyway, I digress. For regulars, welcome back. We appreciate you being here. The reason we continue to do this. And if you're new to the show, either on purpose or by accident, try to stick around for the hour. We always promise that you will learn something. Don't promise how useful it'll be, but yeah, who doesn't want to know more about money anyway? It affects everybody out there, so why not? So lines are open, 904-222-8255. And if you call in, remember there are no dumb questions because there are other people out there who know even less than you do, so you'll be helping yourself and you'll be helping other people at the same time. So don't hesitate to call. We will have a trivia question right after the break, as usual. And just all kinds of other fun things. It's easy to be in a good mood today because we had a really nice week.
That we did. And I wasn't convinced this week was going a good week.
Nope.
But it really turned into a good week later in the week.
Yeah, and the element of surprise doesn't hurt a thing when it goes that direction.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
It was. And what I really liked about this good week is that it seems like it was based on strong earnings reports coming out. Because we just entered earnings season, and the reports we've seen so far have been really good. And that makes me happy. It also combined with COVID cases, hospitalizations, test rates, and deaths all trending lower throughout the U.S. and most of the world. So you get those two things working together, and it made for a really nice week.
And then kind of a simple thing on the side of that, too. It was a minor player, probably, but retail sales popped pretty well, way above estimates.
They did.
Despite the fact that there's a lot of empty shelves.
Yeah.
And hardly a car on the lot.
I still think that the empty shelves thing, it's definitely happening, but I think that it just makes great media. So the media
really
is playing
it
24/7, and I don't think it's quite as bad as what, if you just watch the news, you would think that you couldn't buy anything today.
Yeah,
and that
is not the case. You don't go into a store that doesn't have anything in it. There'll be spots on a shelf that are missing something.
An item or a product line or something.
And it could be something just totally crazy, and next time you go, it's there.
Yeah, because there are plenty of ports that are operating normally, but just a few of the big ones are seeing major delays, specifically, I believe, Long Beach, California. And the ships there are piling up. But they have been diverting some to other ports, and now we've got Joe Biden on it. So,
And they had an epiphany this week. They decided they could work around the clock and get more stuff done.
So I was listening to a podcast about this, and that's not as easy as you might think because the Longshoremen's Union is very much in control of the hours worked at those ports. And so when you're dealing with a union contract that's been negotiated one way, changing it isn't always the easiest thing, as you well know.
And we have President Kiss the Union's rear end working on it.
Right. So that is another. And then also one of the other problems I was reading about was that if you – run a port 24 hours a day, it doesn't mean that trucks are going to come in on the third shift in particular, because if it's a local delivery, nothing's open on the third shift. So there's a lot of logistic changes that need to take place downstream from the ports to even get them running at, or effectively running at 24 hour. And so there's a lot going on there. I still don't think it's as bad as what if you just watched the news, you would really think that it was the only thing. You couldn't buy anything in the United States right now.
Yeah, and some of them, once they get turned around, they're deadheading home because it makes so much more money coming over this way. So they don't wait to get loaded. They just take the ship and go home to China or whatever. So there's a lot of ships going that direction without anything in them, so they can real quick get back this direction.
Interesting.
Yeah. Weird little anomaly that's happening because of the shortages.
And a trade imbalance as well.
Yeah, and that's another thing that's happening big time.
Yeah.
China's slowing down. It's not importing very much, relatively speaking.
So the fourth quarter has started off really strong. If the trend continues, I think it'll just be a matter of time before we set some new all-time highs. Could very well happen by the end of this year.
I've been predicting it. I didn't say for sure by the end of this year, but I did say I wouldn't be surprised if that's when it happened.
This week, the Dow added 1.6%, the S&P was up 1.8%, and the NASDAQ 2.2%. So really strong week. For the month of October, the NASDAQ is now up 3.1%, the S&P 3.8%, and the Dow 4.3%. The S&P is closing in on a 20% gain for the year. It's just under that, but that would be a pretty incredible year.
Yep, it would be delightful.
The U.S. wasn't the only hot market this week. International markets also rallied. Sweden and Mexico led the way higher, while China and New Zealand were the only negative markets that I could find.
Yeah.
Some international markets have done so well they are solidly in overbought territory, the worst or best, however you want to look at it. Example of this is Canada, which is in extreme overbought territory. That means trading well above its 50-day moving average and two standard deviations or higher above that, in fact. But Mexico, the UK, Italy, Spain, the Netherlands, Singapore, and India are also not far behind that in well into overbought territory. Another area that has seen a dramatic price appreciation this year is commodities. Everyone knows that oil is up dramatically, and I think you can all speak to that whenever you fill up your gas-powered vehicle. If you have an electric, you're actually pretty lucky right now. But for those of you in warmer states, you might not know that natural gas futures are up about 52% recently.
Yeah,
if you don't know
it's
it
not
yet,
that far from heating season up north of the line.
This is not going to be welcome news in these colder climates like Europe and New York and those areas of our country. A few other lesser-known commodities are also up dramatically, including zinc, which is up 27% this month, and copper, which was up 12% this week alone. So commodity price swings have been a regular occurrence this year, and it's not slowing down.
And right aluminum now was really tight because of some West African political troubles, too.
I mentioned this earlier, but earnings reports have been very impressive so far this quarter. Banks have really taken the lead here. J.P. Morgan beat on both earnings and revenue, as did Goldman Sachs, Citi, and Bank of America. This strong performance has led the financial sector to see the largest increase in weighting in the S&P 500 this year, gaining more than 1%. Other sectors that have gained include energy, communication services, and real estate. No surprises
there. What was
there.
That one?
Real estate.
Communication services?
Yeah, the one that hasn't done anything
really
in forever.
They've been sound asleep since I can remember.
Yeah. So what that means is that as a share of the 100% of the S&P 500, it breaks down into different sector weightings. Right now, technology is the biggest. It's around 27%, but it was around 29%. So it's actually lost ground as a share of the total. Well, those other four that I mentioned have all gained. And the biggest gainer, as I mentioned, was financials. Mm-hmm. So I've got more, but we'll get to it after the break.
Yeah, one thing that, got a few seconds here, one thing that was really good, the new unemployment claims came in under 300,000 for the first time since COVID.
That was great news.
That is even a reasonably good number before you heard of COVID.
Yeah, that's the sub 300 is sort of the benchmark for a strong economy.
Yeah, the breakout number. Now, if we could just get some more people to think about going back to work, it might be a lot better. All right, we do have a lot more right after the break, and we'll pay some bills first, so don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have much more to do and say about the deal in the labor market and inflation and all of that. But first, we do have a trivia question sponsored, as usual, by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. And it says, in the top 10 cities in the country, what percentage of the U.S. workforce has now returned to the office, having left for COVID and working remotely for a long time? What percentage is now back in the office?
Full-time, not part-time.
Right.
So one day a week a week.
I mean, that's actually returning to work.
Right.
And I did want another shout-out to Captain James T. Kirk.
Okay.
Know who that is?
I do.
When Bill Shatner went up into space and went where no 90-year-old has ever gone before. What an incredible guy. 90 years old and he's doing stuff like that.
Yeah, he doesn't look 90, by the way.
No, he doesn't. And did you know he's a recording artist and songwriter?
Yeah, not a very good one, but he is one.
He's put out something like 12 albums and he's writing a song about his experience in space.
Yep.
But just when you think you pretty much got him figured out, there's another element in there. What a nut job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm jealous. Not of the space trip.
I wanted to mention Joe's Jog for a Cure.
Uh-huh.
It is a 5K race that that we're sponsoring, and it is going to be in Nocatee on Saturday, November 27th. It's the morning of the Florida State game.
It's getting closer than it seems like it should be.
Right around the corner, for yep. sure. And registration's open. You can go to www.joestrong.org. And the great thing about this is that all the proceeds will go to benefit research at being done at St. Jude's for childhood cancer, and specifically the type of leukemia that got our friend Joe. Joe was the son of one of our good friends, and he passed away about 2 years ago. And so this is being done in his honor to raise money to benefit the research that would go into making sure that this specific disease doesn't get any other kids. So hope you can make it.
Well worth it.
Definitely. All right. And then back
to, by the way, if you can't, you can always send money.
Yeah, that's fine too. We accept that.
Yeah.
The Fed has been on everyone's mind lately, and the movement in interest rates is definitely showing that. Short-term treasury yields have been spiking in the last couple of weeks, a sign that the market is pricing in more than one rate hike in 2022. We've been saying that for quite a while now.
We have our particular reason for saying things, and the Fed has a different particular reason for saying things. Theirs has to do with their job. Ours does not.
So this is where it gets tricky. Most likely, these rate hikes would not come until after the Fed completes its tapering, which is slated to begin next month. So that would put it right around the middle of 2022. The wild card here is that would put rate hikes right before midterm elections, and that might not be popular with the incumbent party. Rate hikes tend to cause volatility and thus give talking points to the minority party. On the flip side of that, rampant inflation also gives talking points to the minority party, so there might not be a very attractive political solution here. I don't know how that's going to play out.
Proverbial rock in the hard part.
Hard place.
Hard place. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. I don't envy Jerome Powell right now. He's got a tough job, and he wants to keep that job, and keeping that job probably means erring on the side of being dovish, but more and more signs are pointing to him having to be hawkish in the not-so-distant future. So we shall see how that plays out, but definitely don't be surprised if we see some volatility throughout the rest of this year and into next year as the Fed does begin their tapering and then eventual rate hikes. So something to look forward to.
Yeah, I don't envy him either. And of course, I don't envy anybody who would do a job like that. So basically, it's his own problem.
It is. And if you seek a job like that, you have to know it comes with that kind of pressure. And
yeah, that's an apolitical job on paper.
That's 100%
political yeah. in real life.
No doubt. He's well compensated, and I would venture to say he earns most of it.
No, I'm just putting up with, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's not partisan. It comes from both sides. He's not going to be a friend to either. Yeah.
No, and as I think I said last week, if you've read their mission statement, you'll see that their written goals conflict with each other. No wonder it's a hard job.
Yeah, definitely. It was a mixed bag of economic data this week. 9 reports beat estimates, 12 missed, and 2 came in right on target, so almost split down the middle. We'll start with inflation reports, since that seems to be what's on everyone's mind these days. Mm-hmm. CPI came in slightly less than expected at an annualized rate of 5.3% versus 5.4%. It was the same number we saw last month. The biggest contributor to the report was rent, which rose at the fastest rate since March of 2004. The increases were modest in the Northeast and the West, but dramatically higher in the South and Midwest. Why would that be?
Gee, I don't know. Where's the demand for housing rising?
Where are people leaving and where are people relocating to?
Yeah, there's got to be something in there that you could thread together.
Pretty interesting to see that, though, the rents in the South in particular were just rising at a crazy rate. PPI was a different story than CPI this month. The month-over-month reading was the lowest number since the pandemic began, thanks to a 40% decrease in the transportation and warehousing category of
it's
all
strange,
things.
Isn't
it is strange. It kind of conflicts with everything else that we're hearing right now.
Yep.
But if you dig a little deeper, it was mainly due to airlines, but they weren't the only culprit. The goods and services and energy monthly drops both were pretty dramatic as well. So lots of drops across the producer price index and PPI basically maintaining the same elevated rate we've seen recently throughout recent months.
Yeah, but some of those are kind of weird when the inflation rate is estimated to be really high and it comes in a tenth below. It's called a miss.
Yeah.
An economic miss.
Yeah.
So if you want to really, really look at the economic data, I'd say we're doing fine. All they got to do is not mess it up. But, of course, Congress can't do that.
Yeah, the PPI report really said inflation is still here,
yeah,
but it's hitting odd parts of the economy, and it seems to be hitting them at different times. So predicting what is going to see inflation versus deflation during a month or very slight inflation is almost impossible right now. You just don't know where the demand surges are going to come and where these spikes and
they keep offering that up as evidence of inflation being transitory. And perhaps inflation is a lot different than hyperinflation being transitory.
I mean, you can definitely point to certain areas that you know are going to drop. Cars
sure
are going to come back down,
sure,
because it's simple
get
supply.
The chips
and
in them, yeah,
yeah.
But the bottom line there is when the CPI or PPI or any of those things go up, the price level is elevated from what it was last week and last year. So every time you hit a new price level, the inflation, even if it's lower, raises that price level. It's
yeah
not going backwards. Yes, it will for some commodities, as you said, but the price level, hey, guess what? But I guess on the optimistic side, most people think they're going to get a bigger raise than they have in years.
Well, and they're not wrong.
No.
If you're a pensioner, a
sometimes,
Social Security
well,
recipient.
That brings us back to what we were talking about in the break, too. Some of that results in people quitting their jobs to get a new one, because that's a great way to get a raise.
It is, and that's been happening a lot. The JOLTS report this month was, I believe, was it the highest quit rate
ever? Yeah,
ever. Ever, yeah.
Most people on the highest rate.
Yeah, so that's a sign of a really strong economy when you're seeing people quit their jobs,
yep,
because typically that means that they voluntarily left a job to take a higher paying job somewhere else, and that's a good sign.
Yeah, employers
in general.
If employers are going to keep their people around, they better be very, very aware of what's happening in mm-hmm the quit and rehire, because oh my goodness.
Yeah, this is not the time to be implementing or policies that don't make your employees happy, because they will quit and they will find another job like that. It's even though the total jobs open, as reported by the JOLTS report, was creeping up on 12 million and this month came in under 11 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a ton of jobs. There's no problem finding jobs right now.
No. If you don't have a job today, you don't want one.
More
that, or you're really pitiful person.
Or you're just looking for something way too specific.
Yeah, whatever. You know, I hear it from small businesses all the time that a lot of the people who make an appointment for an interview or something like that just don't show up.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they show up and they work for part of a day or one day. Sometimes they show up and they want to get paid early so they can buy their overnight drugs. Really, the dregs of the universe are part of what's going on out there. I don't know what we're going to do as a society to straighten that out. It sure makes me glad I'm not an employer anymore. That was then, this is now, and times were better then. So I can look back with being very happy on that. But anybody else, too bad, I say. All right, where to go from here? How about this one? We've got a minute to talk about it. Social Security recipients will be getting a 5.9% increase. That is the largest in 39 years. That is the good news. The bad news will not be released until next month when they tell you how much of that they're going to take away by increasing your Medicare.
And it won't be a small portion.
It will not be a small portion. So just about the time you think we're going to get somewhere, you know, maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised when it comes out, but I'm not going to hold my breath to find out. I suspect it's going to be a big increase because the cost of medical is going up. But that's just another one of those things that is as, well, I guess it's like death and taxes and Medicare, the few things in life that are absolutely certain. All right, this is the Van Wee Financial Hour. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we do have the trivia question open. What percentage in the largest 10 cities of the country, what percentage of people have now returned back to the office full-time instead of working remotely? It's obviously between 0 and 100, since it's a percentage. So how's that for a narrow bracket? Lines are open, 904-222-8255. So if you want to take a shot at it, or if you got a financial question or an observation on the passing scene, it doesn't matter to us. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. Otherwise, we'll carry on with what we want to talk about. And I've got some more of this inflationary stuff. This, you can tell, has been bothering me a lot. Now, here's how I've got a set of notes that I use for getting things together for the show. And about every fourth line says, and government just keeps getting dumber. So I just only have to bring it up once because everybody knows it's true. Here's a dandy. What is government trying to tell you? Rick Scott, outstanding senator from Florida, has been working very hard to tell us what's really going on in Congress and how it will affect us from an inflationary standpoint. So he introduced a bill that would require Senate committees to itemize the impact on inflation of everything they did. So the Senate Democrats got together and, of course, voted it down and threw it out. Mm-hmm. We can't have that. Transparency? No. No, no, no. But they could be much more subtle, like Venezuela. Venezuela just issued another brand new form of currency, and they call it the digital bolivar.
Mm.
There are a few problems. One is that there are six fewer zeros on it.
Well, that's not really a problem. That's a solution to inflation.
Well, how about this one? It's not actually digital.
Hmm.
Or this one. You can't get one. Hmm. And even if you could, it wouldn't solve anything. This is the third time Venezuela's leaders have lopped off a few zeros on the currency trying to address their hyperinflation. And it is estimated now by the International Monetary Fund that inflation in Venezuela by the end of this year will reach 5,500%.
Wow.
You think we got trouble?
Unbelievable.
Oh, man. You can't. One of the problems, I have to do this because if you tried to write a check, you can't fit enough zeros on it.
That makes sense.
It does indeed, and the business machines won't handle it. But you can't really get one. I guess the reason it's digital is because you can't find them anywhere.
Yeah. At that point, did they just, I guess they start just using the dollar or something like that.
Well, the bad news for the Venezuelans is that their things are so expensive. The good news is there's nothing on the shelves to buy.
That's the good news?
Yeah, so they can save money on that. All right, how about this one? Subtle inflation. This is the kind of thing, I equate it exactly to shrinkflation. You know what that term means?
Yeah, I did a piece on it a few months ago.
Yeah, I remember that. It's where you go to the grocery store and you get the same product for more money, but when you look at it carefully, you realize the box is smaller.
Or
it weighs less.
I went to Dunkin' Donuts recently and got a large coffee, and I realized that they had raised the internal floor of the coffee cup by about 2 inches. There's a huge air pocket underneath the cup, and the cup is like what you are getting an extra large is what used to be a medium.
Now that is a new one on me.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Wow. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning. Happy, happy Saturday. I'm going to take a shot. Stephen and Adam, Phil from Orange Park here. Better Health Day. God bless. I want to say 32 to 38%. I'll go with 32%.
32%. A great guess. It's a little low, though. But we appreciate it. You got the bracket cut down.
And if you get bored, the next 2 days, Town Hall Park and Kingsley and 17, we got a big 38,000 people 2-day fall festival. No alcohol, though, but I'll buy a snow cone, okay?
You got it. Thanks so much. Hey,
and thank you guys for all the good you do. You are the best of the best.
Oh, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Mix getting up in the morning real easy, doesn't it? I love it. Anyway, here's I found another one, and this one's personal. It happened to me. You probably love this, some of the things we've been talking about. So I look at the gasoline pumps like everybody else, and that's not very subtle. That's really blatant. It used to say $1.80, now it says $3.20 or something like that. That's in-your-face inflation. But not all of it is like this. So I just got the renewal notice from my private drug supplemental prescription Medicare plan. We use a private carrier. And they sent a 12-page booklet with it that you're supposed to read, but of course nobody does. But it updates all of the pricing and what's covered and what doesn't for the ensuing year. So on ours, the basic monthly premium increase, or the face value, I call it, of the policy itself, increased a mere 4.88%, which is $43.20 a year each. Well, yeah, kind of medical and inflation running about that and all that. It's not bad, but just wait. Good morning. Looks like Marshall.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are y'all?
Wonderful. How are you?
Good, good. Let me throw out their 50.
Well, 50 is a little too high, but boy, do we have a bracket now, huh?
Absolutely. I got a question for y'all.
Shoot.
You know, we're discussing how logistics has become a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We just throw the name supply chain on it.
Right.
You know, probably some of the most important people in our economy are our truck drivers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they understand what makes it tick. Many of them own their own trucks, you know, get paid by the mile or by the load or whatever.
Right.
And all this business about, well, we don't have enough to move the product. I'd really like to hear from a truck driver what they actually think is the problem in this.
Well,
because they probably live with it every day.
Yep. I would invite any truck driver out there who happens to be listening to give us a call at 904-222-8255 and tell us. I've heard a couple of them on the news lately that are giving their side of it. And there's some very interesting things out there that could be improved upon in fairly short order.
Well, I happened to be sitting with a guy at lunch yesterday who was the bartender at the particular restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about what's difficult for them to get in. And he says, there are certain products they cannot get, period, that they used to regularly be able to get, just have to order it. And one is something called bullet bourbon, which evidently is a very popular
mm-hmm.
niche bourbon. But it comes in a glass bottle that is engraved. In other words, that raised lettering how we used to have on some bottles, like a Coke bottle had the city on the bottom, you know, for it. And the story he's been told is they cannot get any, not fewer, they can't get any. And I thought the manufacturing genius, Mr. Van Wee, may have a little clue of, okay, so if there's factories that made those in this country before COVID, what would keep them from making them after COVID?
That's a very fine question.
Yeah. Well, the problem is not that they're not making them. The problem is that the shutdowns that were due to COVID caused so many more problems. And you can't just, when you have a manufacturing facility, you can't just shut it down for a period of time and then turn the light switch on the Monday that you open up and everything's back to 100%. That's not how it works. There's labor issues. There's machine maintenance issues. There's just so many issues around doing that. It causes all sorts of downstream problems. And then those truck drivers that were hauling your product are now moved on to something else because your product wasn't available to be hauled. So I think there's a ton of that going on right now as the world ramps back up. There are just shortages of certain things that are causing delays, and it will get back to normal at some point, but the timing on all of these things is going to be different. So we're going to see periodic outages between now and whenever it is we get back to quote unquote normal behavior.
Yeah, and it could be one component. Like if you can't get corks.
Yeah, then you're out of business. Yeah.
Thank you,
gentlemen.
It's an interesting and intriguing problem. Thanks, Marshall. Always fun to hear from you. We've got a couple more callers on the line, but we've only got a few seconds before we have to take a break. So we'll pick you up right after the break. Don't go anywhere. Just hold on through. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we do have on the line, good morning, Bosco.
Good morning, y'all. How we doing?
We are great. How are you?
Trying to pedal across this fairway without getting whacked by a ball on my bicycle.
Well, you must be pretty good then. You're ducking golf balls.
I didn't hear any incoming.
So what's on your mind?
I wanted to hear what that guy was saying about the tractor trailer, what they could not get, you know, that type of thing. But I mean, he was.
We'll be talking about this for a long time, you know. Far from cleared up.
Excellent. And take a stab at your, I'm thinking 43%.
Well, that's a good guess, but it is also too high. It hasn't been going as quickly as you might think. And I think a lot of it is voluntary because a lot of people discovered it's not a bad lifestyle, giving up the commute, staying home. But sometimes they'll force you back. But it is a bit less than that.
Well, I think, you know, you see the states, the red states that are seem to be, you know, getting back or probably have not dropped much of their work habits, you know. They like the money coming in, yep. You know, and they like regularity, consistency, you know.
Mm-hmm. And, can't blame anybody for that. Can't blame people for that. It's a routine.
Oh, no, I agree. I mean, you know, and, you know, I've even talked to young people, two jobs, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm like, you go, you know, and it's good to go. Yep. I'll let y'all go. Another fabulous program. Thank you.
Well, we really appreciate hearing from you and hope to do so again next week. Keep listening. You'll get the answer.
There you go. Hi, Tim. Enjoy the day.
Thank you. Good morning, Leroy.
Good morning. How are you folks doing today?
Never better. You?
Great. I will give a stab at 38.
38, just a little too high.
Well, now you got a better bracket.
We do have a great bracket now. So everybody out there is contributing to it.
That's true. That's great.
Thank you.
Enjoy your show. Glad to see your son is back.
Yep, me too.
I haven't missed a show, but...
No, but it's nice to have somebody here. You know, we can make faces at each other this way. You can't do that over the phone.
It is easier with a nonverbal communication, for sure.
All right, take care.
That's true. You guys have a good day.
Thanks. Enjoy the beautiful weather. And it's nice out there, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So now that we have an upper bracket on this trivia question, I also wanted to mention that I would suspect that if you included part-time workers in this, or people that's not part-time workers, people that are part-time back in the office.
We have meetings on Wednesday. That type.
Exactly. I'm thinking you're going to get in the 60-plus range, but obviously with full-time workers, it's much, much lower. But I know a lot of anecdotal stories of friends of mine, people I know that are going back one or two days a week. Mm-hmm. And sort of easing back into the office.
I think that's a perfectly nice schedule.
And most of them hate it.
Really? Yeah. You mean they would rather go to the office every day?
No. They have grown very accustomed to working from home, not commuting, and having lunch that is, you know, you can go to the grocery store on Sunday and have lunches for the week and not have to go out and spend a fortune.
So you save a lot of money that way. Even though the food in is going up a lot, it's very expensive, there's no comparison.
No, not at all.
You do your own labor. Anyway, back to my insurance policy for prescription drugs. The what I call the in-your-face inflation was 4.88%. But then I started reading the other 11 pages, and I found some very interesting things. For instance, these policies have an annual deductible. Ours increased by $75 each. That's a $150 gain for the two of us in the deductible part. That means out of my pocket. Am I done yet? Oh, no. The tier one, as they're called, they're the preferred generic drug types. We had a wonderful deal. They didn't cost anything. Zero deductible, zero copay. Now, suddenly, that has just ticked up a little bit to $3 per prescription. Well, I can't do the math on that because I can't divide by zero. So I just sort of estimated that it's going to cost us some money. You take every one of those for two people and add $3 to it, and it comes out and it adds to our inflation-adjusted cost. The next level is called Tier 2 preferred generics. They are not the ones that are free, but they have a copay. The copay has been $11. Well, January 1, the copay is $13. Adding another $2, you know, percentage-wise, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't estimate it exactly, but I did some rough figuring on it, and it appears that with an in-your-face inflation of under 5%, the actual inflation for this one item of our routine lives is closer to 15%.
Interesting.
That's subtle inflation. It's not as subtle as I'd like it. But this is what's happening out there, folks. You can't allow it to get worse. Which brings me to, you know the rules for Medicare, getting into Medicare? Most people don't. I think there's a wide misconception that as you turn 65, Medicare kicks in. So they'll just enroll you. And that's just not true. They don't just enroll you. When you turn 65, you're eligible, but you are not enrolled. You can start 3 months before your 65th birthday applying for it so that on your 65th birthday, you will be part of Medicare. But you don't have to. There are exemptions. Well, first off, there's some people that can't get into the free part of Part A, because they don't have their 40 quarters. You have to qualify for that like you qualify for Social Security. But other people are still working and still have a group plan, and other people are married to a spouse who has a plan that covers both of you. Those people are exempted from having to register for Medicare at 65. They can go on until they lose coverage, and then there's an 8-month protected period where you have 8 months to sign up once you lose your insurance without the penalties kicking in. Okay, what do I mean by penalties? Well, the penalty, if you don't sign up in the allotted time for Part A, let's say you're a year late signing up, well, then you get a penalty, 10%. How long do you get it? You get it for twice as long as you didn't enroll. So if you skip it for a year, you'll get a 10% penalty when you get in, and that will last for 2 years, and then it'll go down to whatever your base rate is or whatever your eligibility rate is. That's Part A, which most people get free. That's hospitals. Now there's Part B. That's the doctors and that sort of thing. And the penalty is a little bit different here. It's $10 or 10% extra, but it lasts forever. And accumulates. For every 12 months you don't sign up, you get an extra 10%. So let's say you're 2 years late, you get 20%. That 20% you pay forever. You don't want to let this happen, folks. So if you are not taking Social Security by the time you're 65, you have to pay it out of your pocket. If you're taking Social Security, they will take it out of your Social Security check. And that means to me, and it should mean to everybody, that every January you go in and take a look at what the Social Security check is and see how much they're taking out and make sure it's accurate. You also have to see how much you're getting charged, because the IRMA charges, it's an adjusted cost. It goes up when you make certain amounts of money, whatever your bracket is, and it can really, really extraordinarily change your Medicare costs. For instance, Part B, the base rate is $148.50 a month. It can escalate up to $504.90 a month for people in higher tax brackets. So you need to know that it's right, and if it's not, we can help you get it fixed. Yeah, we've done that many, many times for many people. For instance, if you retired and your income fell, you don't ever want to pay too much for Medicare, and you don't have to pay too much for Medicare. But know this, the IRMA charges are nothing more and nothing less than income taxes, period. Same way you want to keep your income tax bills down, you want to keep your IRMA charges down. I said we can help you with that. All right, well, it's winding down here. The number of people, the percentage of people who have gone back to work on a full-time basis in the office is 36%. And Adam kind of nailed this when I asked him before, because in his head he quickly divided it out as to the people who go in once or twice and the people who go. And I think I would not have come up with anything as low as 36. It seems to me it would be more than that now, but I do believe people are loving it, and I can't blame them. All right, well, it's been fun. We'll see you all next week, same time. This is the Banway Financial Hour. Go enjoy the day.